Let me encourage you to open your bulletin and answer the question. The question, what does spiritual mean to you? What do we mean by the word spiritual? Does that mean walking around with your hands folded and mumbling some quotation from the Bible? Is it the same thing as being pious? What is being spiritual all about? You know, what's interesting about this is that the word spiritual is not in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, it's not in the Gospels either. It's a after Pentecost word. What that means is that it's not mentioned until after the day of Pentecost. Being spiritual does not mean necessarily being good or being godly. Being spiritual can be evil. Listen to Romans 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we can be spiritual and be wicked? See, the problem here is that our definition is frequently not biblical. And the way we get answers to a question like this is to study God's Word, to study the Bible. There's a dictionary of Bible words authored by a man by the name of Vine. And I love his definition. He says, things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with His character are spiritual. Let that soak in for a minute. Things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with His character are spiritual. You know, it's interesting to realize that God's laws are spiritual. The Bible says that. Romans 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but the law could not make humans spiritual. I'm going slow here because there's some pretty heavy stuff here. You have to think about what is being said. The all law is spiritual, Romans 7:14. But the old law could not make humans spiritual. And the question, of course, is why not? In Acts 2 and verse 38, we have a promise as Christians from the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in spirit. We need help. We need help to be spiritual people. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, where a congregation in Galatia was struggling with this issue, Paul says, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free, so that we will not be entangled with the yoke of bondage. If you were circumcised, it didn't profit you at all, because you were still a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect in you because you have fallen from grace. See, the law could not be kept perfectly. Why not? Because of human weakness. In James 10, James 2 and verse 10. James says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all." Yeah, think about that. If you could keep everything in the law except one thing, you're still in violation of the law. That's the nature of law. I mean, that's even true of civil law, isn't it? You get a ticket for speeding, you can't go to the judge and say, "Well, judge, I didn't park illegally, I didn't cross the yellow line, I didn't." You can't list all the things you didn't do and expect to be exonerated. If you're guilty of one thing, you're guilty of the whole law. Jesus Christ gave us the capacity to be perfect. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ gave us the capacity to be perfect in God's sight through grace. He gave us the capacity to be spiritual, to be perfect. You hear me quote 1 John 1, beginning with verse 6 a lot, where the passage says that the blood of Christ cleanses us, active, present, from all unrighteousness. The blood of Christ continuously cleanses us. That's because of God's grace. See, it isn't because we are perfect, it's because God has provided a way in which we can be continuously cleansed. That doesn't mean we can't do something about being spiritual. And we are able to do something about it. What about us makes us spiritual? Let me suggest a couple of things to you. I hope this is a lesson that in your quiet time at home, you'll go back through and think about. Because that's one of the ways we become spiritual, is to spend some time dealing with what God says in His Word about spirituality. Men in Christ who walk as God pleases, they walk so that they please God, are spiritual. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Now, does that mean that I'm better than you are if I'm spiritual? Does that mean there's some kind of a power struggle here? Is there something about me that makes me better than you? If I say I am spiritual, brethren in Christ, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a man. See, the point is that someone who has been overtaken in something is assumed that he's looking for help. Listen to what it says. "Men in Christ who walk as to please God are spiritual. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." Somebody comes to me and says, "You know, I am really struggling with alcohol." And by the way, I run into this every day. Every day. Because I know a lot of people that have a struggle with alcohol. Some of them are public about it, some of them aren't. One thing about being sort of anonymous on the web is that I'm no threat to anybody. So this morning at 6:30, I had an email from a guy in Los Angeles who is overtaken in a fault. Our brother who's with us on Sundays quite a bit goes with us to Timbers and so forth. Adam, his stepson, is in the hospital, as was mentioned early this morning. This is his fourth attempt at suicide. He's overtaken in a fault. He needs help. That so far has not been an issue for me. So therefore, it is an obligation as a Christian for me to try and reach out to him. And this can be in a whole litany of things that occur in life. A principle is involved is that we as Christians grow in our spirituality because we go to someone who is seeking help. Notice what it says. In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Could I have a problem with alcohol? Yeah, I could. I grew up with parents who pushed alcohol, made me sort of radical about not getting involved in alcohol, but there's a whole bunch of other things I'm struggling with. My wife could fill up 10 pages of those things. But when I need help, where do I go? To those who are spiritual. I want to be very careful here to get you to understand Galatians 1 is not saying somebody's better than somebody else. It's simply saying that one part of growing in spirituality is to be available to help others. So on Sunday morning in Bible class, on Wednesday night, we spend the first 5 minutes every time talking about, okay, who's got problems? That's why you've got a sheet of paper that has a list of people struggling with issues. Yesterday afternoon, Carol Smotherman called me, her daughter-in-law, serious problem. Why'd she call me? Because, brethren, if a man be overtaken, she's struggling with an issue. We need to work at sympathy, at understanding, at compassion. You know, our society works against us in this. In my experience in growing up, men who could cry, who could be moved to tears, were considered to be weak. And that may be true in the secular world, but it's not true in the Christian world. Are you spiritual enough to be understanding, to be compassionate, to care? I struggle with movies because I get too involved. I get too sympathetic with the actors are too good. And I don't like to be disturbed like that, especially when it's artificial. Many things in our lives can make us spiritual. Our singing can make us spiritual. We know this passage. Listen to it carefully, Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's that? We know what a hymn is. We know what a psalm is. What's a spiritual song? Let's do an example of a spiritual psalm. Would you open your psalm books, number 320? Number 320, wonderful example of a spiritual song. Number 320, let's sing it together.
If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in thy fold. When thou hast given me some for to hold, dear Lord, forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O guide me, love me, and my keeper be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There's a spiritual song. I guess it's one of my favorites. Why? Because I got all those problems. But I want to ask you a question. When do you sing those spiritual songs? Colossians 3, beginning with verse 17, same message. Therefore, as God's people consecrated dear to Him, clothe yourselves with tenderness of heart, kindness, self-humiliation, gentleness, forbearance, bearing with one another's faults, being generous to one another. See, they're all things that God is. Remember the definition of what being spiritual is. Those things that have their origin with God and which therefore are in harmony with His character. That's what these are. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together on perfect harmony. Let the peace that Christ gives decide doubts in your heart. Learn to be thankful. Richard gave us a reflection on Veterans Day. I spent 7 years in the military. Never got into the kind of thing that Cynthia's father got into. He didn't talk much about it, but he talked to me. He said one time I was standing there with my friend, told me his name. And all of a sudden, my friend was shot and died 3 feet from me. Her father never got over that. He never got over it. Learn to be thankful. I'm thankful for men who willingly went into the front lines. I'm thankful for people who made an incredible sacrifice. I hope you read the bulletin of last week about the tomb of the unknown soldier. Learn to be thankful. There's lots of things around us that push us away from that. He goes on and he says, remember what Christ taught and let His words enrich your lives and make you wise. Now, how do we do all that? Listen to it. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There it is again. Singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. Let me ask you something. What do you do when we're singing? Are you thinking about the words? Are you thinking about the intent of the song? You know, when I hear people gripe about singing, they're usually concerned about, well, that didn't sound very good. He was flat. He was wrong speed, blah, 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 blah. I could care less. Do you sing at home? Do you sing at home? You know, I think one of the things that caused my kids to be strong was that my wife Phyllis sang constantly. What'd she sing? Rock and roll? Not unless it was spiritual. My kids knew the songs. When we traveled, and we traveled a lot, thousands, tens of thousands of miles, what did we do while we were traveling? We did a lot of singing. In the car. Let music build your spirituality. We must also grow in knowledge That's another way to increase our spirituality. It's not an option. Listen to 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow? I know somebody's saying, man, you're a broken record on this. Well, we need to grow. We need to know more now than we did yesterday. We need to be greater in our appreciation of what Jesus was about than we were a year ago. And how do we do that? Listen to the same author, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire, there's the key word, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow through it. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You want to know what the Bible says? Is that your desire? Do you want to be informed about what God says in His Word? You know, you can turn on radio or TV and you can read books that are written by men who have their own ideas about religion, even about Christianity. Willard and I were talking about this the other day. You know, there's lots and lots of opinions out there. But how do we know about our Lord Jesus Christ? How do we know about things that have their origin with God, which are in harmony with His character? From His Word. From His Word. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11, the writer says, and He gave some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all become united in faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, growing in stature until we approach the fullness of Christ. We become like God, or at least more like God, that we from now on do not be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by speaking in love, that we may grow up into Christ. We live in a sea of religious misinformation. No matter where you are, no matter where you live, there are people out there saying things, teaching things, believing things, promoting things, writing things, making wonderful movies, writing incredibly entertaining songs. A sea of misinformation. The only source that will never let us down is God's Word. That's why this congregation focuses so much on God's Word. That's why we have Bible classes in churches. Churches of Christ all around us are canceling Wednesday night class, Sunday night service. And their members are coming here. Our attendance on Sunday night is frequently bigger than it is Sunday morning. So what's your attitude towards classes? Somebody say, well, I'm really sick of listening to you. I understand that. Well, that remains to be seen. But I think it's important to understand that the reason we have devos, the reason we have sermons, the reason we have classes is He gave some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Read Ephesians 4. And do we pray to be spiritual? God, help me be more what You want me to be. Help me be more like You. Colossians 1, beginning with verse 9. Paul says, we do not cease to pray for you that you might be filled with clear knowledge of His will, and to make you wise about spiritual things. Oh my, do we need that? Be wise about spiritual things. Then you will live lives worthy of the Master and so please God in every way. And because you're so good, it's because God gives you the strength to be better than you could be without God. Your lives will be fruitful in every kind of good action all the time, learning to know God better and better. Our classes are carefully designed to help us grow. We have a box in the lobby for people to make suggestions. We hear people talk with us about those suggestions. Right now, I think we have a wonderful set of classes. Not because the teachers are all that great, but because God's Word is all that great. And we can grow. And brothers and sisters, there are things that will inhibit our spirituality. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3, says, although we live in a world that is no worldly warfare we are waging, our weapons are divinely potent. Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God and to cause every thought to come under the authority of Christ. That includes preachers. There are preachers who erect a defense against knowledge. How many times do you hear a sermon and not one passage of Scripture is quoted? That won't happen here, I promise you. But I have read and looked at sermons, been to a few, where not one Scripture was read. One biblical principle discussed. And attacks on the Bible are increasing in our secular world. May I also suggest to you that another thing that affects our spirituality is how we dress and what our appearance is. And we have a history of saying stupid things in this area. I can remember when preachers were throwing tantrums about women wearing pantsuits. I mean, there's been a lot of dumbness out there. What did men wear when Jesus was alive? Answer, dresses, suits, coats. That's not the point. Listen to 1 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 9. I desire that women should adorn themselves in suitable apparel with modesty and self-restraint. Okay, that doesn't mean you can't be attractive. It doesn't mean you can't dress nicely. What he says is, not with elaborate hairstyles or expensive clothes or jewelry. In other words, not wearing things to say, I'm better than you, I got more money than you do. Because that was happening in Paul's day and it's happening today. Our appearance radiates our spirituality. I got to tell you a story. Cindy and I were in England, and we were doing a program with a congregation. It was an American and a British wife. And we're sitting at the train station waiting for the preacher to pick us up, and this Volkswagen pulls in with psychedelic painting all over it. And a guy steps out wearing incandescent purple and gold shorts and a see-through t-shirt. And I said to Cindy, well, one thing for sure, that's not the preacher. And then no sooner got out of my mouth than he said, are you John Clayton? I'm the preacher. I thought, oh, this is going to be wild. Then we got to meet his wife, and his wife was a prim British businesswoman wearing a pinstripe suit. Very proper. And somewhere along the line of the discussion, I mentioned to him his appearance. He said, well, before we're through here, you'll see what we're doing. And so I was speaking in all the public schools in that community, and I walked in, and guess who was the only person there not wearing incandescent shorts, see-through tops? Yeah. And so the young people were being reached to by the fact that he looked just like one of them. They would listen to him. They weren't about to listen to me. Not to start out with. But when we had services, it was an interesting mixture of hippies and proper British women and men. Because you see, they were concerned about the influence that they were having by how they appeared. Now, obviously, that can be carried to the extreme, and obviously, our situation is a little bit different than inbred England. But it is important to understand what we put a priority on in our appearance radiates a message to the people around us. And it was interesting to me during Funfair how many times people would gravitate towards one of us that was obviously either part of what we were doing or maybe part of the community. People do pay attention. And our spirituality has to be reflected in what our purposes are and how we dress. Now, on Sunday morning, I'm the only guy wearing a suit coat today. Why is that? Because my wife was concerned that my pop belly wouldn't make my shirt fall out too far. Okay? I mean, it was that simple. But we're paying attention to how we dress, and that's important. It's also important to look at our recreation. Remember the WWJD bracelets? That was really a pretty good idea. What would Jesus do? And I think it's important to ask that question of ourselves. Would Jesus watch the movies you watch? Would he watch the television shows you watch? Would he read the books you read? Our concern has to be on what we radiate to the people around us. 1 Corinthians 15:33 wasn't just written for teenagers. Don't let yourselves be deceived. Bad company is the ruin of good character. Who you enjoy being with affects your spirituality. Who you enjoy being with affects your spirituality. So do you enjoy potluck? Do you enjoy things like this coming Thursday when the ladies go to St. Joe? There's a wonderful opportunity to build your spirituality. It's important to realize that our spirituality can be affected by what we do. By our recreation. And I want to emphasize the fact that you do not do something does not make you spiritual. Somebody says, well, I don't drink. Wonderful. That doesn't necessarily make you spiritual. If you've got a foul mouth, it doesn't matter. You know, one of the things that's interesting is that we need to constantly build our spirituality. And the question that comes down to us is, how did the first century church do that? Look at the book of Acts, starting in the second chapter with verse 41. What did the first century church do to help these new Christians build their spirituality? Let's read it, starting with verse 41. Those who accepted his message and were baptized, about 3,000 were added to the number that day. One of the first things we have to do to be spiritual is to obey God's word, to be a Christian, to be baptized into Christ, to wash away our sins. What else happened? Next verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching You hear that? Doesn't say they were devoted to the apostles. Okay? Doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, in Galatians, Paul got all over them. In Corinthians, Paul got all over them because they were saying things like, well, I am a Paul, I am a Peter, I am a... No. The first century church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You say, well, that was back in that day. Yeah, and the apostles' teaching is there for you today. That's what the Bible is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. There we go. The importance of being together. And to prayer. So there were devotionals. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. So they addressed the needs of the people that were around them. That helped their spirituality. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day. It wasn't just once a week. Every day, as often as they could. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Breaking of bread. Fellowship. And what else did they do? Verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. You see, there was no room for accusations, for skepticism, for accusations. Because nobody's going to criticize people that are doing good to all people. May impugn their motives, but they won't criticize the act. You know, this morning would be a good time for you to start building your spirituality. And every one of us here this morning has a need. We can all do better. And I hope some of these suggestions help. Some people do extreme things that will help them. Sam's about to head to the Dominican Republic. That's going to affect her. I promise you that will affect her. I hope it affects her in a positive way. I think it will. Sometimes mission trips can be really hard. But it can change you. My daughter Kathy was having lots of spiritual problems. She went to an island in the Caribbean. She slept on a dirt floor. This was, if you know my daughter Kathy, that's about as far from her critique as you can imagine. She worked with people who didn't have anything. And when she came home, I had a different daughter. It will change your life to get involved. And it will change your life to simply ask God to help you grow and to make in your own heart the determination to be more spiritual. If you need to respond to God's invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing to encourage you to do that. Won't you come?